up with the check in the morning, and the number on the check was 7777. I'm like, oh, and I show Ashley, I'm like, she was there with me. I said, wow, this is like, you know, a good thing. And there was really a promise associated with this giving that wasn't manipulation. It was just very sincere people taking up the offering. And for Georgie and Banoff Global Celebration and the ministry that was there. But it's really healthy for us to give. And one of the men had made this comment, said, the Lord will never ask you for what you don't have, but he probably will ask you for what you want to keep. He won't ask you for what you don't have, but he will ask you for what you'd like to keep. And I didn't mean to go into this, but this was so phenomenal. It's this picture. And one of the men named Jack Coe was associated, I think it was his father, that was one of the largest tents in the whole world that was a evangelist tent. I guess this thing was massive, huge. So this is the son of that man. And he was there at the conference and shared different things. And he said at one point in his life, someone gave him a motorcycle. It was a motorcycle that was exactly the motorcycle that he had prayed for. He'd asked the Lord for it. It was a Harley. It was a fat boy, and it was a black. Like Marty's sitting back there going, oh, yeah, Marty. And maybe there's other motorcycles. Yeah, there's a couple of the rest of you that have motorcycles stored somewhere where you admire. And he gets a phone call that someone gave him, and he asked the questions about the, like, hey, I'm giving you a motorcycle. He said, yeah, what kind? Harley, you know, what model? It's fat boy. What, one last question. Instead of just going, oh, thanks. He's like, what's the color? Black. So it was just like from top to bottom, exactly what he'd asked. It was close to Christmas. He told his wife, hey, I just got a motorcycle and I'm going to go get it. So he drives to California. It was like a few days before Christmas. It's like, I'll be back, I think. But I got to go get my motorcycle, you know, one of those things. And off he went and comes back with it. Still was winter. He couldn't even ride it. So he parked it in the garage and he'd go out and sit and start it, you know, like we do with our toys. And vroom, vroom, you know, did whatever, but it's never gotten nice enough to ride. And he's at a meeting. I forget the details of this, but all of a sudden the Lord asked him to give his motorcycle away. Now I want you to give that away. Really? Yeah, that can't. That's what he said. That can't be God. You know, stop. Static. You're breaking up, Lord. You know. You must have said toaster or something. So he reluctantly obeys the Lord, gives the motorcycle away to somebody else. Since then, he has received 21 motorcycles. Gifts. Yeah. And that's a good, healthy thing to realize from the Lord, that you receive. You don't give. This isn't Buddha sitting in a Chinese restaurant. It's not a statue. He's not dead. It's not religious. It's not Molech that asks for your firstborn and, you know, so that I don't come and destroy your village. It is the Lord, you know, Lord God, Jesus Christ, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and he loves us. He cares about us. And when he asks us to give, he never has any intention but to do anything but to increase and give back. Cannot outgive him. Someone said, he will never be indebted to you and never allow that. So if you think you've given something sacrificially, the Lord will allow that to stand because he just won't be indebted to anybody. That's another good point. Like, that's awesome. He'll never be indebted. So if you think you've given more than what you've received, that the Lord just won't have that. I mean, that just isn't a kingdom. Number one, he's already given more than we can ever give back. But just in case you have a moment where you think, God, I gave you more than what you gave back to me. I know none of you would ever think that. No, not you, but we can go there on those days. So it's neat. But so thank you for your giving, and we accept it, receive it, are blessed by it, and just love our house and love what we have here as a body and as a people. I want to jump in and jump out of something quickly today.
Can
You may. Would you like...
Yeah, I like a microphone.
Thank you, Dwayne. You are cooperative. Nope. Did it come on yet?
Oh. Well, this brother right here is speaking such truth. And I just want to confirm it. Because many years ago, I received an appeal, from Oral Roberts University, saying, would you please make a donation? So I got my checkbook out. I looked at the check number, and it was 7777. Now, if you know anything about Oral Roberts University, their address is 7777 South Lewis Road and so on and so forth. And so I wrote the check out, didn't have all that much money, but I wrote it out for $77.77.
Oh, my God.
All right, so I sent it in to them, and I wrote a little note saying, this is special, please feed back to me. Didn't hear a thing ever. Until a couple of years ago, one of my older grandsons graduated from Oral Roberts University. So see, that little seed went in there, and they talk about how they have done better and better and better. And this is just that little thing you put in and don't get any feedback from, and you don't think it's worth anything, except here's this grandson. And he is a musician plus. See, and he just, just the little extra perks, he just got hired with a Christian organization. I mean, he wants to get into music for movies and stuff like that. He's a wonderful Christian young man. And what's he doing? Waiting tables in Nashville, Tennessee. That's what you do if you want to break into the entertainment business. So he's waiting tables. Well, he gets this job, full-time job, for a Christian company, writing music, and it's to go out to groups like this man right here. Here's how you do worship, and here's what you do, and it's tutorials and so on and so forth. Well, anyway, that was him. That was Keith Duell. And then we just have been gone a lot here. And one of the things we have been gone a lot for is one of our older granddaughters, Keith's younger sister, Amy, just graduated from where? Oral Roberts University. Yeah, so here they go, see? And so what does she do? She graduates and the next day goes to a week of training and is at this moment in Japan as a missionary. Wow. Let's hear it for the Lord.
Dwayne, Ashley, she goes, Dad, like, I didn't realize until after I wrote out the 70, she goes, you should write 77. I said, man, I already wrote out the check, and you can't just grab another check because there's only one that goes 777. That is such a neat testimony, though. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, too good.
Little tiny things and
yes.
Big rewards as the Lord works it out.
It is. It's so important that it's what's done in faith, it's not the volume of something, it's not whether it's known or not, it's what is done in faith that the Lord sees and knows. That's how kingdom works. That's how kingdom works. So everything has value, everything that we do in obedience has incredible value. And Sharon, can I share any of your story about your son coming and that? Sharon had really prayed for her one son that he actually was a believer at one time and had become very disheartened, which is the story of countless people get disheartened with church and believing in the whole thing, and you just chuck it all, like, I don't want anything to do with this. And when you hear their story, you go, yeah, I get it. I mean, you know, it's just, it's nasty what religion has become or is compared to what we're knowing now as kingdom and the love of the Father. That's a whole different thing. Having churches that are truly kingdom oriented and just the things that we've been learning and growing in, and that's a whole different thing. But as he came, she had no idea. She kind of put the mother smack down on him, you know, that card. You guys have a card. It's called the mother card. You play that card, and man, it'll put your kids under something terrible, you know. they can resist a lot of forces on the planet, but the mother card just is kryptonite. They're just like, what do I do with this thing? Yield. You will eventually, just yield now. So, but he came, and just a testimony to the worship team as well, that he just was blessed by the music. Like, it just softened his heart, the girls singing, and it meant a lot because he has music in his history, and he just recognized. And it's valuable because there's something about music that opens up our heart. And I don't know how. There's a teaching that Joseph Garlington had, so I probably should make copies of the teaching. I don't have it on video, but it was from a conference. When did we hear that, Phyllis? Kingdom Conference up in Cleveland. Yeah, a year ago in the fall. And he begins to talk, and you know the song we do, No Longer Slaves. I didn't mean to go here either, but it's important. We sing the song, No Longer Slaves, and the opening lines are, you unravel me with, what's the next line? You unravel with a melody. You surround me with a song. And Joseph Garlington gives a whole teaching on that first verse, and you go, whoa. And he describes how our brains are designed, left side, right side, and the left side is like the guard dog. Anything new or anything that once you have a belief system, y'all know not all your beliefs are good, but they're your beliefs. They can get established really early in your life, and once you believe something and once it's yours, then it's really tough to break that into that, especially if it's something's wrong with it. The left brain guards that. So someone starts to, you know how you tense up, someone starts telling you a story or someone's trying to sell you something, you have that, you know, it's the left side that goes, just step back, you're in my space. I don't need a sweeper, even though that one does it all, you know, that kind of thing. So it can be a good thing. It's good. We do need some guard, you know, some guarding, boundaries, et cetera, ability to know what to open up to, what not to. And once you know the truth, the gospel, then someone comes in with something else, you're just like, nah, you know. So there's a natural part of us that's defensive. And he said, but when the Spirit's trying, you know, truth is coming, the Lord's coming to reveal himself, and that comes, your left brain, and you'll experience, this is why I don't tell good jokes, so I just stay away from it, stay out of it. Like, I'm funny enough trying to be serious. That's, yeah, we laugh at me trying to do life. That that's my joke. But people like Bill Johnson, Joseph Garlington, they'll tell a lot of, sometimes they'll speak a lot of funny things right through their message. Now, that can get corny, so I don't like the corniness of it when people just use it. But there's a reason behind it, and the reason is when you laugh, it left brain kind of takes a chill. And it opens you up so you can receive something new. So how many of you realize we constantly need to renew our minds, we need to encounter truth, and truth can be, if truth is opposite of what you already believe, then it's, you know, it's going to run into the wall, you know, boom, you're like, tense up. And so laughter, there's a couple of things that cause that to just calm down for a little bit, makes you open. This is why people like, and that's why those ridiculous preachers get up and tell jokes that are bad. Because if you laugh, it helps them relax too. It helps me relax. facts. If you just sit there and give me the straight face the whole time, I start to get nervous, you know. But when the audience laughs, then you know there's an accepting, like their guard is down and they're accepting of you. So everyone, every speaker desires that, like, so you can just get on with your life. But there is a part of the left brain, it's called the Baroque, I think is the name, that the name is probably a Latin word or whatever for that part of that guarding part. And the lyrics to that song, You Unravel Me, it's about the music, the song breaks that down, like causes that to open up so that you can receive truth or receive ministry from the Lord. And how many of you, we all go through these seasons where we're just hard, like we just can't receive. Like, I just went to this conference and I couldn't get open, but I'm receiving, I'm listening, I'm worshiping, I'm doing everything, but I couldn't get, I wasn't in, not in that zone of feeling the presence of the Lord or anything. Then it hits me this morning in the middle of worship. I don't get that. I don't understand that, but I liked it. It was good. And I've been praying again for these impacts to come back of the Spirit, because I miss that so much. So when that part, that is what the song does. Her son experienced that, like what could have been a very, he's like a self-proclaimed agnostic, which is a step up or step down from an atheist. I'm not sure what, you know, how you categorize. Sharon said, I don't know what that is. They probably don't either. You know, it's just a, but the music opened his heart up, and he actually had a really neat experience being here in our little church. That's huge. That's huge for me. Like, that really blessed me hearing that story. So we do our things, and here we are, this little group this morning, and the Spirit, I just felt the Spirit so strongly, you know, in this meeting so far. Isn't it amazing? Like, I love this. So let me just take a few minutes. I'm not going to be long. I thought, man, I don't have much, but I have this. I had this experience yesterday in the meeting, or like I've entered into a season where I've lost my peace, and something heavy had entered in. And it's interesting tracing some of these things back. I'm going to take a moment to tell you, it doesn't matter what it was, and here's what's tricky about this, or very interesting, and I know you all relate to this. Sometimes it's not even a bad thing. It can start in a simple conversation you had. For me, it was a conversation I had with somebody not around here. You know, it was like a whole nother thing. In the conversation, I didn't even feel it at the moment, but later it became a problem. It opened up something, like the impact was later. It's kind of like, how many of you ever know when you actually got infected with a cold virus? If I understand right, it can be, how long does it take for some of these things to man? 2 weeks? Can it be?
Seven to 10 days.
So the day you actually got infected with the virus, you just dippity-doo-da, you know, you're just going through your life. And 3 days later, and 1 week later, and da-da. And then all of a sudden, you're going through life, and you're like, boom, whoa, I'm not doing good. You know, I'm affected. I got something. We say, I picked up something, you know, your voice changes. And so things that are, and it can be an array of things. It's really not even just this or just that. Something that causes conflict in you. And at the heart of most of the conflict that happens in our heart, it can be something simple. Like sometimes, you know, somebody does something to you that's just clearly offensive. You had an encounter with somebody, da-da-da, and you go, wow, I've not been doing good since, you know, that big event that happened, you know, yesterday or 3 weeks ago. But this was a simple thing, an innocent thing that turned into something out just in my heart. And it compounded on a couple other things, and I found I've lost my peace, like I'm not doing good. And like, what the heck happened to me? Like, what is this? So we're up at this conference, and in Todd White's message on Saturday morning, he's just talking like he does. He's all over the place, and it's all really good. And he refers to a verse out of 1 John chapter 4, 18 about perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. And he quotes it, and I'm sitting beside Phyllis, and all of a sudden I heard a light came on about that verse, like I got revelation. Now, I've taught that verse. I've spoken out on that verse. I've been here, been there. I've wrestled with that verse. And I leaned over to Phyllis. She didn't even hear me. It didn't matter that much, but I just leaned over to her. I said, "Did you ever consider that perfect love is a person? Like, did you ever see perfect love as a person, like the name of a person? Perfect love?" And I stepped back, and I think after that, at some point, maybe it was that afternoon, it was later in the afternoon session, Phyllis, that we had a time of worship. It was just a simple time of worship. They were just encouraged, just go anywhere in the room, you know. So I just got out of my seat, and I was in the back wall, and or against the back wall, and just kind of me and Jesus, just having some Jesus time, you know, and this is coming, and I'm struggling with what's bought this thing, this heaviness that's been growing, and I can't get rid of it. And once that starts, then other things will start setting in, like you've gotten separated, you're trying to stay separated. So we all have our story, but I do know a lot of you will relate to it, because this happens to all of us. Sometimes you know what happened, and sometimes you have no clue. You just know all of a sudden something's come in and you're not doing well. Once that's set in, you can't hear, you can't seem to get in your groove, you've lost your thing, you're trying to, have you ever tried to march? You know, some of us have marching band, you know, in our history, and there's always that kid in the band that just cannot get in step. You just want to go, like, really, you know, should we really put white shoes on him? How about, like, other shoes? Because he's making all of us look bad, because he just is not, he's just out of tune, out of time, man. And it's showing up. And you'll find the problem is it's not in his heart. It's not in his heart. It's not here. He's trying to watch. Do you know how bad you look when you try to step like somebody else is stepping by visually watching them, but you can't hear the beat? And you start living your life like that, and you look quite ridiculous. You're like too fast, too slow, too, you know, they turn, you're like, you know, and we all do all those names of things that you do in marching band and turn, and they're the one that's always like, whoops, oh, went wrong way, you know, that just like shows up on the cameras big time. Though there weren't any cameras in Minerva High School, but yeah, just saying. So I'm meditating on this, and I start looking at this verse, and of course it's an awesome chapter about love. The whole book's really good. I recommend 1 John 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, and the rest of the Bible is good, you know. It's all good. And in verse 17, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And I was experiencing this lack of confidence, and I'll go to this conference, and sometimes when you're around in a good situation like that, you can feel worse than you do at home. You're like, oh boy, now it's really showing up. I'm out of sync. I'm out of tune. I'm out of time. And you just start getting this barrage of things coming at you, and you just want to run out like, you know, ah, you know. You don't do that because you're, you know, sophisticated, but you feel it. Because once it starts, and once that stuff starts chasing you, you're not doing well. Like, get me someplace like where no one sees me, where I can, you know, have my Pepsi and pepperoni or whatever your thing, your vice is, you know, like I gotta get and hide, because it's tormenting. And I'm like, why? How am I getting tormented? So I'm in this, and I'd been praying about something, working through this, but I'm meditating on the scripture, and I know the Spirit's highlighting it, and I'm getting something. And I get to verse 18, like there's no, you know, we have boldness in the day of judgment. Like, we're not afraid of that. Because why? Because we're confident. Because we know we're in a good place. You're only afraid that, you know, remember when you were young and you're like paranoid, mom and dad are coming home. Why is that? Because you haven't done what you were supposed to do. Or, you know, the place is a mess. Or maybe there were other things that you did that you're, you know, I'm going to get in trouble. Why are you fearing that? It should be, I mean, if you're in a good place, you're like, you long for their arrival. Oh boy, mom and dad should be home by tonight and we can have supper again. Or, you know, I don't know, whatever. We can eat again. So I get to verse 18 and there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So perfect love casts out fear. And I've said, and I've like tried to embrace this by like, if I feel loved enough, it'll cast out fear. Ever been there? Ever tried to grasp this? I said it to Phyllis. She goes, yeah. I've struggled to really getting a grasp. Like, we know the verse and we quote the verse, so we sound like we know what we're talking about. But in all of Scripture, it's dependent on revelation. Once you get revelation on something, that never bothers you. You're just like, oh yeah, I know what that is. You just got it. But until you get revelation, you struggle. Well, struggling's not bad if you struggle to the point of truth or understanding and getting. And so I see this and I go, and all of a sudden, and I'm praying my prayer time. I'm praying relating to the Lord. And I start articulating what I'm seeing. Perfect love is Jesus, it's you. And all of a sudden I personified this. What is love? Is it a noun? Is it a verb? I mean, I'm not good at language, but, you know, person, it's not a person, place, or thing, but it's like, you know, what is love? Is it a verb? What is verb? What is it a verb? None of you went to school either. What's that? It could be either. That's right. Depends. Yeah. It can be love. It can be, you know, it can be love in. It can be the name of, you know, the church. It can be, you know. But as we're relating to this, you're trying to, you know, and there are the different kinds of loves that we know with the Greek words phileo and eros and this and that, you know. And so you try to grasp this and you realize that the love of God is more than just a feeling. And if I feel love, it casts out fear. And I was struggling getting there, though I was trying to, like, that's what it says, because that's the only understanding I had. All of a sudden, in my just interacting with Jesus, all of a sudden, he is perfect love. And I this just starts coming down on me. Perfect love steps in and starts casting out fear. Like, you know, superhero. Boom, boom. Because fear, I could develop this more. And someday, maybe I will. Maybe I'll turn around and do more of it. But I was like drawing diagrams. Life brings us scenarios. Good, bad, or indifferent, doesn't matter. And at some point, it kicks on a video. It kicks, especially if it's fear-oriented. Actually, if it's anything-oriented, a video kicks on. And it plays out. Do you understand the things you fear aren't real and most of what you fear never happens? Somebody said that recently. I'm like, huh? Most of what you fear doesn't even happen. Did anybody track that? Okay, let's track. How many things have you been afraid of? Give me a list, da, 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 da. And how much of it actually happened that way? Oh, well. But when it comes, and if the video plays, it's real, isn't it? It feels real. All of a sudden, you envision something happens, and it clicks that off. You're designed this way. It's okay. It's just you got to know how to deal with this stuff. You need to know where to put it. And you need to identify where it's coming from. Just like we were looking at James chapter 3 about wisdom. The wisdom from above looks like this. First, it's pure. Second, it's peaceable. It's kind. It's not without hope. So identifies there's another wisdom from this world. It's envious. It's jealous. It's nasty. It's demonic. It's that opinion, that you know, opinionated anger, that feeling you have when you start talking about politics, that thing. I pretty much guarantee you that's not the wisdom from above when you're venting that. And how many times a day do you flow in the wisdom that's from this earth? More times than we want to admit, probably. But there's a greater wisdom once you start in renewing your mind with wisdom, and that comes into play in this. It's a whole different thing, and it causes you to be quiet when you normally would be throwing out your opinion. How many times a day does somebody ask you about something you actually have no idea about the answer? But because they ask and you're an opinionated person, or you should think you know something, you just give them an answer. I've been learning, drilling myself on don't say a word. I don't know. It's not that hard. I actually don't know. I can give you my opinion that's worthless because it's not really based on any facts, and especially if it's about what somebody's doing or why they did it. I really have no clue. Yeah, but why would they do that? I don't know. Yeah, but there's got to be a reason. I don't know it. They know it. You know, like, why are we where we're so tempted to step into that thing? It's defiling. Defile yourselves countless times a day just by speaking that wisdom that's earthly and fleshly. I'd encourage you, man, just go after wisdom, real wisdom, pure wisdom, changes all that. It kind of causes you to start pull up a little bit. And then when you do speak wisdom, it's powerful. It brings life. It's huge. Well, we need to apply wisdom to this thing and what this scenario, once that scenario plays in your mind, it becomes real. If somebody rattles off directions to me, I'm like, I cannot recall line one, line two, I don't recall that way. I don't. But if they tell me the directions slowly enough for me to envision going to Canton, to here, to there, and once I envision it, I got it. I don't even have to work at remembering it because I envisioned it and I have a picture of where to go. Doom, boom, boom, boom. I can almost go right to someone's house if they can talk me through all that, and I can envision it. Once you envision a scenario playing out, you may have a problem if it was a bad scenario, if it was a bad thing. And if it's fear-based and you envisioned it, it's powerful. It doesn't need to be based on truth. It can be based on anything. But once that happens, you've got to deal with this thing. And it'll take you down bad paths. So it can be either or. It can be faith-based or fear-based where you go. And one thing connects to another and blows up into more. This is why your prophetic words. I want to encourage you. I don't know if you've ever done this or been encouraged to do it before. But if pick a prophetic word that you've had, I would encourage you to dream about it and actually purposefully envision that thing happening. Like if you have a prophetic word you're going to preach to multitudes, then I just encourage you, go lay down on your bed, look at that prophetic word, and just y'all have imaginations. They get you in trouble all the time. And just envision that in Jesus' name. Envision that prophetic word, as ridiculous as it may feel. If you get a prophetic word that you're healed, lay down on your bed and envision that. Dream about it. Let the video play for this good that's based on faith, that's based on hope. But if fear has come in and gets a stronghold, and it can even be like, it's not even always lies. Sometimes it's the truth that comes and beats you up the worst because you can't fight it with anything. It's like, yeah, it's true. I'm a screw up. Like, I don't do well in this area. It's my job. I get paid for it, but I'm really not any good at it. That's a bad day when you cannot wake up to that. And the criticisms that came, they might even be true. How do you fight something when it seems true? I'm hearing this thing in my mind. I'm not a good mother. I'm not a good father. I'm not a good pastor. And I can't completely deny it because I'm, you know, I just screwed up like 3 times in the last week. I'm not doing well there. Fear says there's no hope. But if you don't allow fear to get a hold, then and you look at it, it's just a situation or problem, and you pray, then the imagination, the vision, you can imagine yourself doing better. That's and I don't even mean to get into that as much as once fear comes and gets a hold, it's very real to you, and it's not based on anything good. And we need something more powerful than just a love, feeling something. I don't want to diminish this, because if this works for you, but I needed something more than just feeling loved to cast fear out. I needed a superhero to step into, and I experienced that standing in the back of that room. I'm just like, oh my gosh. And perfect love came as a person just... I just, boom, 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 just, I'm like there. It was a moment. I don't have description of it. I didn't know what was going on, details. I just knew it was going on. I just knew it was the first time for a long time I felt that, and it came through, perfect love came, was real, living, and I just heard it from a scripture and word, and I look at it, perfect love casts out fear, and it's a person. It's Jesus. He's living. Was to come, cast out all fear, not just make it less. Like, that's what I love about listening to Todd Wyden. I mean, he's just bringing this convicting all of us, this message that stop compromising, stop dumbing down the gospel. Freedom looks free. Freedom from sin is freedom. And we live in a Christian culture that's just still managing sin. You understand that. And then ministries pop up to help you manage sin. Really? Is that all there is? Is that what this is? Is this just like a self-help program? Or can I really be free from stuff? Or can I really be a new person? Can I really be transformed into the likeness of Jesus? And anytime I'm here and teaching this, just challenge me to get beyond where you've been, Rick. Get beyond when you're thinking where you've been. Go for it. And we've all had these times when we dreamed and we believed in the full power of the gospel. And then disappointment comes. You don't get healed. Something happens. Relationships fall apart. Your marriage falls apart. Stuff happens that you go, this will never happen to me. Then it happens. You don't know where to put it. So you create a doctrine that makes it easier to live with. That's really bad. We've got to stop doing that. Even if we leave some gaps like, why did this happen? I don't know. It shouldn't have. Can we just stop there? It shouldn't have. Let's have hope for better days. Whatever that was, I don't have to put a name to it or title to it. I don't have to reduce heaven to cope with this. I can believe in the fullness of all that he has. And so that's my little ditty. Like, there's more to it. I may come back around at this, but this is like, I know that. I just know because I'm walking with a group of you that there's little things that have come in recently, and it about takes out your lunch. And you can be running well, and this thing gets in, and then it becomes, and your imagination gets in, and you perceive a scenario. Now we really got a problem, and nothing's really happened yet. It can take months. It can take years. It can take half a lifetime for a person to get back up out of losing that. I mean, this massive weapon by the enemy, and he's using how you were designed and built to envision, to imagine, and to play a scenario, to play. And I just could see so clearly where, how something happened, and all of a sudden I have this, and this thing just starts to grow. It's like watching a bad movie. It just gets worse, you know. The scenario just gets this worse. So I need a superhero to step in and go, check, boom, get out, done, stop, block. Because it feels so real, doesn't it? And I need the one with the promise to step in and speak to me and speak fresh to me, renew my mind and come to a place where I go, here's the truth. Here's the truth. I do have, I will have what I need to do this job. I do just need to wait. This was a big word that we heard from Joseph Garlington because it really applied to some other things that I was struggling with. Just get back and go, what did Jesus tell me? What? I need to get back to just what he's telling me to do. I can't be pleasing people. I can't worry about that thing, that fear of man that comes into play so big. I have to just genuinely say, this is what I feel led to do. This is what I feel the Lord's saying. That's not what I feel. And I don't even have to give you a lot of explanation. I don't have to create, I don't have to make you a bad person to just say, no, that's not what I'm feeling. But I have a great conflict over that in my heart. Skim back to just say, Jesus, what are you saying to do? Okay, so you screwed up a bunch of stuff. Start fresh. Today's a new day. The curtain came up on a new day. His mercies are new every morning. Let's start fresh. Do you take pleasure in your sons or daughters groveling over their mistakes once they've said, I screwed up, I want to fix this? Do you just go, well, no, you're going to punish for another 3 months, like, just because? Or as a good father or mother, do you say, sure, let's work on that. I can help you. That's your Father in heaven. Sure, let's work on that. I agree, you've been a lousy husband. Let's work on that. Sure, you've not done well in this area. You've been running. Let's get to the truth. Because with me, all things are possible. And you get this expectation of, it's like, I'd like to do that, but there's no money for it. Stop. Find a way. Get out of that mentality. Get out of that being mad at people. Get out of that victim like it's everybody's fault. Find a way and find a place. Let's pray and we'll close today. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this great meeting where you visited us. Thank you so much. Right now, in everybody's place, I just ask you, Lord Jesus, our perfect love. You are the superhero. Come, and I ask that you'll cast out fear. Cast out fear. Break the bondage of fear. Break the strongholds of fear. Break down, like erase the videos that have played in our minds of how things may go. Erase the bad info. Erase the bad scenarios. Because once we envisioned it, it became so real to us. And Lord Jesus, we need you to come and erase that. Get that off the chart. Get that out of the library. Like release that. Erase that. No matter how long you believe that, if it's not the truth, it needs erased. So Lord Jesus, come and just erase all those things. Give us a new day. How simple. You just want to come. How simple. You just want to come and descend on us. Descend on us. You are the embodiment of perfect love. You chose to love us. It's a love that it's not a fabricated romantic thing that we have to conjure up feelings, but it is a reality. You love so much that you gave, you provided, you come. Love is a person. It's an action. You love us. You come to us. And once you've loved us, we're going to be able to love the way we need to. And I just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless all of you. Yes, Kathy. Yes. 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 I heard he's got through all that. Is he good or not? Okay, it'll be. I've heard several things. And Sheena had her baby. Did you?
Yes. Yeah,
I know. Oh. Little girl. I missed. L. Wow. I know.
Carol Perrin's sister did get surgery, and she seems to be doing good, but she still needs prayer as well. Carol.
I was thinking of these the babies though. What's the name of Sheena's baby?
Gabriella.
It's another L. Do you realize how many of the baby flock has L in their name? And that is like, you know, El Shaddai, El, you know. it's a good name. You know, it's a good consonant, whatever, you know, to have in the prefix to have in your name. So, yeah, that's neat. We've got four or five of them. Eliana, yeah, there's four or five that have Ellen. Yeah, yeah. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up Gary Crabtree and Trudy, and I just ask for you to comfort the family, and we just ask for your supernatural intervention to save his life. And Lord Jesus, most of all, we just pray for his soul. We just cry, we just lift up his name, that he will come to know you, even in this coma, that you visit him, that you break in whatever has hindered him from surrendering his heart to you. We don't judge that. We just ask for your mercy to come, that you continue to give him opportunity to choose you, to say yes to you. For him to choose you, say yes to you. You work so amazingly in all of these situations. We have so many great stories and great history, great situations, testimonies. Father, for this new baby, for Sheena and John, just ask that all grace will be given, that she will be well and healthy, and continue to just, we just give thanks for her. And give thanks for her. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Okay. All righty.